Hi, everyone. Pastor David here again, and I'm just so glad that you decided to join us for worship online today from Appleton Gospel Church. If you're watching today and you'd like more information about our church, what we're all about, what we believe, and things like that, or if you are just struggling and you need people to be praying with you, I want you to know that we are here for you. Please go to appletongospel.com/connect and let us know what you need, and we would love to help you. So when I was a kid, one of the things I loved about the summer was spending time at my grandparents' cottage. Every summer, we'd go there, and when we'd finally turn onto the gravel road off the highway, we'd roll all the windows down and smell the cool air from the pine trees around the lake. And then when we'd finally arrive, we'd burst out of the car and run down the wooden steps and then the old dirt path to get to the lake. And we wouldn't come out of the lake for days. But along that path between the cottage and the lake, plants would grow from time to time under those tall, thin pine trees. And most of the plants were fine, but sometimes there'd be poison ivy or something like that, something dangerous there for us kids to get into. But in all of the years we went there, it was never a problem for us because we had two rules. First, even as kids, we knew to stay on the path. In certain times, it's great to be a trailblazer, but usually not when you're a barefoot kid in the woods. And second, even though we would stay on the path, we knew to watch for danger. We knew what to look for, and if we ever saw anything that looked even remotely dangerous or poisonous, we'd stay away from it. Most of the time, as I remember. And those two rules kept us as safe as any kid might be. Well, today, as we start the final section of the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, and as Jesus starts to wrap up this incredible teaching on the good life, on finding and experiencing the life of blessing and happiness, not an easy life, but the good life by following and trusting in Jesus, he gives us a series of warnings. And just like the path at the cottage, in following the way of Jesus, even if you're on the right path, the path that leads to life, there are certain things that can be dangerous for you that you need to be aware of and careful to avoid. So my goal for you today is that you'd be able to grow in your discernment of what is right and true and helpful for you, that you'd be able to grow in your discernment of who to listen to as you make your journey, whether you are looking for a different church at some point, maybe you move and you're looking for a new church, whether you're listening to someone at a conference or online or whatever. But I also want you to not be afraid as you run down this path with all the life and the joy and the passion that we had running toward the lake as kids. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps today, please grab them and open them to Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13. We're going to pray and then we're going to jump into this teaching together. So please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the teaching of Jesus as well as the warnings of Jesus. We do not want to be overly confident when we should be careful, and we do not want to be fearful where we can be bold. So please help us today. Give us the discernment that we need to be able to listen to those who speak what is true. Would you speak to us now through your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is God's word. Okay, so next Sunday, we'll wrap up this sermon series called The Good Life with a message of how to develop resilient faith, unshakable faith, and I don't want you to miss that. But before we get there, Jesus gives us a series of warnings that we must consider today. So let's look back at verse 13. Jesus said this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So last week we saw that everyone, all people, even you, are invited to join the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So the invitation of the gospel is for all people, everywhere. Come, be reconciled to God. Join the family of God, or as Jesus says here, come and enter through the narrow gate. So to enter through the narrow gate is a picture of conversion, of becoming a Christian. And the narrow road, the way or the path that leads to life, is the lifelong journey of following the way of Jesus. It's the Christian life. But here's where the danger comes in. As Christians, we can still be Christians, but yet be distracted or divided or confused or misled or rendered ineffective in our faith by listening to or being influenced by the wrong people. Jesus describes these people in verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious, ravenous wolves. In the Bible, a prophet was someone who would bring God's word to people. They would write or they would say, this is God's word. Thus saith the Lord. And they would have all the authority of God in doing so. So a false prophet was very dangerous because a false prophet was someone whose preaching or teaching or writing was not from God, or that disagreed with the word of God, or was opposed to the will of God. There's a very scary place in Ezekiel where God tells the prophet Ezekiel, there are people in the city of Jerusalem who are claiming to receive a word from the Lord, and I have not spoken. May it never be said of me or my ministry. But here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns us that there would continue to be false prophets and false teachers who would seek to come into the church, not seeking to build the church up in love, but seeking to divide or destroy or use or even abuse. Here, Jesus says that they come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, Jesus often spoke of his people as sheep and of himself as their shepherd. And a good shepherd leads and feeds and protects their flock. So Jesus leads us as his sheep. He feeds us and he protects us when there is danger. And so he warns us when there is danger. Jesus says that there are some in the flock of the church who are not sheep at all. Now, outwardly, they may look really good. On the outside, they may look like Christians. They may sound like Christians. They may act like Christians in some way. They may look very religious and legit. But inwardly, he says, there's a fatal heart problem. And this isn't just a little thing. This was a warning of Jesus that was repeated in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter in many places. So we must pay attention to this and ask ourselves, what can we do about a wolf in sheep's clothing? How can we recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing? Let's continue in verse 16. Jesus says very simply, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So Jesus says that wolves have a tell. You can recognize them by their fruit, by their produce. In other words, you can recognize a wolf by what their life or their teaching produces. Are the results good or bad? Is the result of their teaching more of the fruit of the Spirit or more of the deeds of the flesh? Is the result of their life that the people around them are growing in grace and truth and being built up in love? Or are they being used or deceived? Or are they being asked to compromise their integrity in some way? Jesus says you're not going to get good, healthy, life-giving fruit from a rotten tree. And you're not going to get rotten fruit from a healthy tree. Now, what he's not saying is that pastors or ministry leaders need to be perfect. We're not perfect. Every pastor and ministry leader, except for Jesus, makes mistakes from time to time and sometimes even falls into grave sin. Trust me, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, there are and have been many times when I've had to repent and ask for forgiveness and seek reconciliation because of my sin and my foolishness. But what someone does in response to their sin is very telling. Are they humble and repentant, or are they hard-hearted and unchanging? Do they demonstrate the fruit of repentance, or do they continually deny and hide and shift the blame or run away? Are they willing to be accountable for their actions or their words, or do they believe that they're above reproach? Jesus says this, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. Then he continues in verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, next week, we'll talk more about hearing the word and putting God's word into practice, putting the commands of Christ into practice in what we do in our lives. So I'm not going to talk much about doing the will of our Father in heaven this week. But what Jesus is referring to here is about the future. Jesus is talking about when he will return from heaven and the dead will be raised and people will give an account of their lives to him. And his people, the sheep of his pasture, will enter into the fullness of the kingdom of God. But those who are not his people will be separated forever from him. And Jesus says something very startling in verse 22. Listen, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Now, the NIV Bible translation provides the heading for this section of true and false disciples. But when I think about people who claim to be prophets, like Jesus is referring to here, or they claim to have authority over demonic powers, or they claim to have performed many miracles, the average Christian doesn't spring to mind. It doesn't sound like the average disciple of Jesus or the average church attender to me. So I don't think that Jesus is referring to different people in this section from the wolves of the previous section. And I certainly could be wrong, but I think that Jesus is saying that on that day, the wolves will finally and forever be separated from the sheep. And no demonstration of spiritual power, no claim of divine authority, no signs and wonders will matter. Apart from what? Look at verse 23. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. This doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't aware of these people. It means that the only thing that will matter on that day is whether or not you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Does he know you? Have you given your life to him? Not just to receive more stuff or more blessings from him, but to get him. That's the difference between a sheep and a wolf. That's the heart difference that makes all the difference in the world. It doesn't matter what you're able to accomplish for God if you don't know Jesus. And it doesn't matter how much authority you have or celebrity you have or the number of followers you have if you don't know Jesus. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account if you don't know Jesus, because he's the most important thing. Now, in the New Testament, there are a number of places that help us understand what these wolves sound like or what the fruit of their lives or their teaching looks like. And like I said, my goal for you today is that you be able to grow in your discernment, to be able to better discern what is true and helpful for you. So to help you apply this teaching today, I want to give you 6 examples of what a wolf sounds like so that you can better avoid one if you ever meet one along your path. And I have to say, this is especially important today as every wolf on the planet is able to put their teaching online, and not everyone with a microphone is speaking what is true or helpful for you. Okay, so number one, they are motivated by money. They are motivated by money. Wolves think that godliness is a means to financial gain and that the church is their means to a paycheck. Now, there's nothing wrong with a church having paid staff members or for church planters or missionaries to receive an income so that they can give themselves fully to their calling. But when your motive for ministry is money, you've got a wolf. Now, you can spot this type of wolf often when they start to make the blessings of God dependent on you giving to their ministry. And they prey on the most vulnerable among us by saying that if you just sow a seed of faith by giving to them, God will pay you back 10-fold or 100-fold what you could give. Meanwhile, their net worth grows, and they use it as a demonstration to show how much God has blessed them. Be careful. Don't be surprised when the money goes missing or it's used for personal gain. Stay away. Number 2, their goal is celebrity. Jesus said that John the Baptist was perhaps the greatest man who had ever lived up until that time. He was a great prophet. And John had a very popular and influential ministry in Jesus' day. But when John realized who Jesus was, John said, "This is the one I was telling you about. He must become greater and I must become less. Jesus must increase and I must decrease." When their goal is celebrity, a wolf makes much of themselves while making little of Jesus. In their preaching or their writing, who's the hero? They are always the hero, not Jesus. Now, there's a fine line between wanting to get your message out so that more and more people hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and promoting yourself as a celebrity. But you know that you've crossed the line if you do more promotion for yourself and your ministry than you do pointing people to Christ. Be careful. If the goal is celebrity, compromises are often made to protect the brand. Stay away. Number 3, the people around them are not built up in love. The people around the wolf are not built up in love. Jesus said, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many." And the call to ministry, the call to make disciples, which is the mission of the church, means that we give our lives to help others know and follow Jesus so that they would be built up in love, love for God and love for their neighbor. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says that the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, not shot, not attacked, but gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. So a wolf might have a very successful looking ministry from the outside, but then when you get closer to them and the relationships that they have and the people in their immediate vicinity, when you see their marriage or you see their family or you see key staff member relationships or leader relationships in their church, you start to see that they're using these people or maybe even abusing these people, not building them up in love. So be careful. The fruit looks good from afar, but it is rotten up close. Stay away. Number four, they add to God's word. They add to God's word. For the Christian, this might be the easiest wolf to spot because the teaching of this wolf will just seem off or wrong compared to what you've heard in the past from other people. Although this wolf is particularly dangerous for people who are new to the faith or people who haven't read much of the Bible and are easily deceived, this wolf often uses the Bible only as a starting point to launch off and say what they really want to say. They often use biblical sounding language, giving the impression of wisdom. And sometimes they'll even confidently assert a new interpretation of some obscure passage that has very questionable implications. Be careful. When you add to the gospel, you are denying the cross of Christ. Stay away. Number five, they subtract from God's word. They subtract from God's word. If we're honest, this is tempting for all of us because there are some hard teachings in the Bible. And God calls us to repent of some things that at certain times in our lives we really don't understand or even want to give up at the time. So rather than letting God's word be the authority over us and responding in humble obedience to Christ, it is tempting to want to ignore or dismiss certain teachings instead. A wolf who does this fails to teach the whole counsel of God. They spend all of their time in the Old Testament or all of their time in the New Testament, or they ignore certain passages or things like that. They might deny things like prophecy or miracles or the resurrection of Jesus because they just simply don't believe such things are possible. Or they might change the meanings of words to mean things they've never meant in order to make the Bible say what it has never said. They rip verses out of context to apply them today in ways that they have never applied before. Be careful. They do not have the authority to change the word of God. Stay away. And finally, number six, they major on the minors and minor on the majors. What does that mean? Well, most Christians I know have a real desire to grow in their knowledge of the truth and in their understanding of God's word. And that's a really good thing. But in the desire to go deeper, sometimes people get distracted by secondary or minor theological matters or controversies. So a wolf might spend years on one of these minor teachings. A wolf might spend years teaching an elaborate theory on how end times prophecy is being fulfilled today in geopolitical events, while ignoring the fact that most people don't know who Jesus is or really what Christianity is all about. In 1 Timothy, Paul says that these wolves devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. Be careful. Major on the majors and minor on the minors. And if not, stay away. So these are six unfortunately common examples of wolves in the church. The first three are about the content of the character of the wolf, the fruit of their life. And the second three are about the content of their teaching, the fruit of their ministry. So as the Good Shepherd, Jesus leads us and feeds us by his word and by the power of his Spirit. But he also warns us in order to protect us, his flock, because he loves us. Just like the path at the cottage, in following the way of Jesus, even when you're on the path that leads to life, there are things that can be dangerous for you, and you need to be aware of them and carefully discerning to stay away from them. But I do not want you to be afraid to run down this path that leads to life. I don't want you to think that there's no joy or passion in the journey because we need to be watching out for wolves around every corner. When we'd run along the path as kids down to the lake, our focus was ultimately not on the path. Our focus was ultimately on our destination, on where we were going and the joy that would be found there. And while I want you to be discerning and grow in your ability to discern what is true and right and helpful about who you listen to and who you are influenced by, your focus ultimately should be on Jesus. After all, to know him and be known by him is the most important thing. So don't let anyone or anything distract you from that. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you again for this time. I'm just so grateful for the truth that we find and the clarity that we find of this calling that you have given us in your word. Father, I pray that you would give us more discernment in assessing what is true and right and helpful from all of the messages that are out there in the world today. I pray that you would lead us and guide us in the truth. You would protect us from the wolves among us. And you would help us to run with joy and with passion down this path that leads to life. I pray, Father, that you would not let anything distract us or cast our eyes away from being focused on Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.